Hi, guys. I am Eden Young. I am a senior at Laguna Beach High School, and I've been going to this church since sixth grade. Sam has always asked me to speak, but I'm like, no, I'd rather do worship. I'm more comfortable there, and I've gone on the mission trips. But so this is my first time speaking. Nervous, so yeah. But I'm excited. Today we were talking about fear and trust. Who of you have ever been afraid? All of you better be raising your hands. Okay, so I have this book that whenever I'm afraid or I've had a bad day, I turn to. I got it when I was like one, so it's like a little good night book, and it always comforts me and helps me. Is there a slide? So yeah, it's like a kid's book. It says, "Good night, little mouse. You're the smallest one here. But with God on your side, you don't need a fear. Every prayer that you tell him, I know he will hear. Good night, little mouse, the smallest one here." Okay, God, thank you so much for today and just for this message that you have prepared for the three of us to give, Lord. And I pray that you calm any nerves, Lord, and that we just speak the exact words that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in the Bible, there are countless accounts where God needs us to trust him and where we might be afraid, but we have to just put all our faith in him. And one of the stories that I find really unique and that I love is the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. Now, God had promised through Abraham that his descendants were going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach, but he still didn't have a son. So finally, God gives him a son. They name him Isaac. But then one morning, God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son to me. And in Abraham's head, he's probably like, God, like, what are you saying? Like, Isaac is the fulfillment of your promise. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to, like, he was so full of fear. But instead of letting that fear overtake him, Abraham said, okay. And the next morning, the very next morning, very early, he rose and he went off with his son to sacrifice him. Now, I love this part because a lot of times when God tells us to do something or we're afraid, we don't want to face it. And we kind of go off and try to find a way out of it or make up excuses. But Abraham, he obeyed God, and he went very early the next morning with no delay. And so it was a three-day journey to the place where God wanted him to do the sacrifice. And when they get to the bottom of the mountain, Abraham tells the servants, just stay here, like my son and I will be back. And then they start walking up the hill, and Isaac is like, Father, like, where's the lamb for us to sacrifice with? And Abraham tells Isaac, he says, don't worry, God will provide a lamb for us. And in these two instances, I just love how Abraham still has so much faith, and he knows that God has a plan for this, and that God will provide. And so they go up the hill, and they prepare the altar, and then Abraham is ready to sacrifice his son. But right before, an angel of the Lord comes and says, Abraham, do not lay a hand on him. I now know that you fear the Lord, and you have not withheld anything from him. And those two verses are probably some of my favorite in the Bible, and they're ones that I turn to constantly, because so much time we have like this fear in our hearts, but we need to know that God has such a bigger plan for us, and that when we fear him with like this respect and this reverence, we don't want to hold anything back. We will let that fear go, and we will let those things that are keeping us away from God go. And after that, a ram was provided for sacrifice, and Isaac was able to live. And so in this passage, there are three points that I just love, and it's about how we have fear, and then we trust God with it, and then we kind of sacrifice that fear and we give it up to him. And so fear is this feeling and belief that overtakes us. It's something that we don't want, and it has the power to take over our lives, but that is up to us. And so if we choose, we can trust God. And trust is when we have something that's overtaking us, or that's kind of just like infesting in us, we give it up. And we allow God or someone with confidence to take it. And we can trust in them that they know what they're doing with it. And so I just want to encourage you all to trust God with all the things you have, and that he will provide a way. And so there are three verses that I love. Are they up there? Okay. There's a quote. Sorry, I forgot this. There's a quote by Richie Norton, and it says, "To escape fear, you can't go around it. You have to go through it." And so that's just how Isaac, he didn't, like I was saying, he didn't try to go around it. He just faced his fears, and he went to God and trusted him. And I'm going to leave you with some verses. And first one is Psalm 9:10. "Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." So God won't leave you if you trust in him. And then "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you." So just like when we have that fear, just give your trust to God. And then "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give it all you have." And so I'm going to leave. I'm going to have Lalia come up with my last page from my book. This has always been my favorite one, and it's just a picture of these hands around this little fawn, and it's like the hands of God, how he's holding us, and he has us safe with him. And so it says, "Good night, little fawn, all speckled and brown. You're safe in the grass, huddled there on the ground. You can take a long nap. God is always around. Good night, little fawn, all speckled and brown."
Good morning, everyone. Just get set up here. So I hope you guys are having a great morning so far. My name is Lalia. I'm a freshman at Laguna Beach High School. I'm so excited and I'm so blessed to be able to speak to you guys today. So before I begin, I just want to share you guys a story that happened to me about 2 months ago. So as I said, I go to the high school here and I take dance. And 2 months ago, we were in our jazz unit. And one of the days, we were, in the beginning, we were doing a warm-up. And in our warm-up, we had an across-the-floor combination. Basically, what that means is like a dance combination traveling from one corner to the opposite corner. And so our teacher, she taught it to us and went over it about twice. And she's like, "Okay, class, you know, you're going to go two at a time with a partner, and I'll count you guys off." And so I kept telling the person behind me, "Hey, you know, you can go in front of me. You can go in front of me." Because I didn't know the first half of the dance, and I was still so confused. And finally, it got to my turn, and my partner, and we were up front. And then my teacher told us by then to the whole class, "Okay, guys, I'm not going to count you off anymore. So you guys just go after this group in front of you, and, you know, after the eight count." And so, you know, I counted in my head to eight, and after I counted to eight, I started the combination. You know, at least I attempted to. And so by then, I was already halfway done with the dance. And then I had this thought in the back of my head, like something wasn't right. So I stopped in the middle of the dance floor, and I looked back, and I noticed my partner didn't go with me. And so in that moment, when I looked back, I just had so many doubts. Like, you know, especially seeing my partner not with me, I thought, "Oh no, was I not supposed to go? Did I go in the wrong timing?" I mean, I went back in line, but my friends and I, we just all started laughing after that, because just that couple seconds when I looked back and looked at everyone was just funny. But afterwards, my teacher, she told the class, she said, "Guys, whenever that happens to you, whenever you mess up on a step, or your partner doesn't go with you, or you forget, you know, the combination, just keep going, be confident, finish strong, and go for it," you know? I feel like, you know, that relates a lot to our lives, especially when God calls us to do something in life, whether it be big or small. You know, at first we may feel hesitant because we don't know all the steps or all the details. But it's so amazing and so important when we do say yes to God, and we say yes to God and we're obedient to him, and we say yes, you know, God, I don't know all the steps. I don't know all the details, but I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to listen to you and trust you. You know, of course we're going to have doubts and we're going to have fears along the way. But, you know, it's so important not to let those fears and doubts, to let that get to our heads and to let that control us. You know, it just like the story of Peter and Jesus. I love this story. You know, when the disciples were out in the boat and it was very stormy and they saw Jesus walking on water. And at first they thought he was a ghost. They were so terrified. But then verse 27, if we can get that up there, says, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" You know, it was like me. You know, as soon as I took my eyes off the front, as soon as I turned around and let that thought, you know, control me, all of a sudden I was filled with so many doubts and fears. You know, if I would have finished the dance, and, you know, obviously I would have realized it afterwards that my partner didn't go with me, but it wouldn't have affected me so much. But, you know, what I love is how when we do fall, when we do get scared, and when we just fall down, like Peter, when he started to sink, immediately Jesus reached for him and he rescued him and he catched him. And that's why we shouldn't be afraid. Because when God calls us to do something, he's going to follow through. And when we fall or when we're scared, he's going to rescue us. He's going to comfort us. It reminds me of a dream I had about a year ago. In my dream, I was sitting on the curb of the street, and it was a really gray and gloomy day. And in my dream, I was like kind of had my head down. I think I was sad, I don't know. But all of a sudden, all these negative thoughts started to rush through my head. It was so overwhelming. I just knew like they weren't from God. I couldn't even pinpoint what each of those thoughts were. But all I could do in that moment was just to hold my head down and cry out to God. I kept saying the Lord's name over and over again. And every time I said his name, boom, those negative thoughts went away. And that's why, you know, the Lord tells us numerous times in the Bible, do not be afraid. It's because God is bigger than our problems. God is bigger than our struggles. And that's why, you know, when God calls us to do something in life, when he wants us to take this journey with him, he wants us to trust him and know that everything's going to be okay, and to fix our eyes on him, because he holds us in the palm of his hands. He knows our future. And so before I hand it off to Frankie, I just want to leave you guys with this verse. In Hebrews 12, if we can get up there, yeah. So it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So my question for you, church, are what are those fears or doubts that are hindering you from going on the path of the Lord and that are hindering you from doing the things that God is calling you to do? And I just pray that you guys would let go of those fears and that you just give them to God. Give them to God and know that God has you in the palm of his hands, like Eden's little storybook, you know, the little fawn. You know, God is holding us, and that's why we shouldn't be afraid.
There we go. Okay. All right. So I think that, you know, both Eden and Lolly brought up some really good points that, you know, we can take into account for our everyday lives. And so I'm here to just build on that. So the first passage I want to get up on the slide here is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Our worship entails offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, which means dedication of the total person to living for God's honor. This is also displayed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. It says, you were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. We as Christians should experience a progressive transformation of life through the renewing of our minds. The mind is changed by prayer, by reading and reflection on God's word, by worship, and by meditation on God's acts as the Holy Spirit works in us. The next passage I want to get up here is Psalms chapter 40, verse 6. And it says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require." Now, going back to what Eden was talking about, the story of Abraham and Isaac, I feel like this passage in particular falls into play with that, because it says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire." We know that because God anointed Abraham with the son, that his goal was not to have him sacrificed. But what God was really doing when he asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac was to test his love, to see if he loves God more than anything else. And the story of Abraham and Isaac paints a seemingly mirror image to God's sacrifice to us, obviously on a much lower scale, but the correlation is there. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son for God, whom he loved over everyone else. And God was willing to sacrifice his only son, Jesus, for his children, who he loves over everyone else. Luke chapter 22, verse 42 says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." This cup refers to Jesus' upcoming judicial trials and execution on the cross. Jesus addressed God as Father, just as he anointed all of his disciples to do so. If you are willing, take this cup. That means that Jesus, fully aware of all the suffering that awaited him with the crucifixion, before crucifixion even existed, he did struggle with going to the cross. You know, we know that Jesus was perfect. He didn't sin. But he still felt those same feelings that we feel. He was a human too. He felt, you know, nervous because he was going to go and get the whip many times and get hung on the cross. But what made it easier for him was he knew the reasoning behind it. He conquered his struggle in favor of doing God's will, which over the course of his entire life on earth was his focus. Now, this shows that by giving up our fears and trusting in God, his will be done and his plans will be followed through. Jeremiah 29:11, if we could get that up on the slides here. Is that not up there? Joshua 1:9, then, says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. And sorry, but Jeremiah 29:11 is not on the slide, so I'll just read it. I really wanted to get this in there, but it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, this is the Lord's declaration, plans for welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That just adds to our desire to want to live this life out, to want to live out these plans, because we know that God's plans are for the best for us. Notice how it says this is the Lord's declaration. He's not guessing. He's not asking. He's not assuming. He's declaring this. So in the Lord's declaration, I mean, how much more verification do you need from that? You guys want me off the stage that bad? Man, harsh crowd. But no, going back to what Lalia was saying about Peter and Jesus, you know, Peter put his faith and his trust in God while he stepped on the water. You know, he was looking Jesus right in the face, walking on water. He was all good. The minute he turns and looks away from Jesus, he sinks. Now, Jesus does rescue him, but that just shows that if we take our eyes off of Jesus for the slightest time, our life can change course just like that. So I think it's very important that we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and live out this life of honoring God.
Amen.
Now, we have, if you look in the pews in front of you, there are small little white sheets of paper. Now, what we're going to have you guys do is we're going to give about 3 or 4 minutes of just time to reflect on what was just said by the three of us. And, you know, on those pieces of paper, just write down any fears that, you know, are going through your mind that's holding you back from keeping your eyes focused on Jesus. You know, we want to do this because we know that sometimes when you think about fears and think about giving your fears up to God, it gets lonely. You know, it's confusing because you're like, I don't know what to say, what not to say. I don't know what to give up and what to keep in. But we just wanted to do this Sunday morning to make sure everybody knows that no matter where they go, no matter what point they're at in their life or how many fears they have, they'll always be surrounded by church family. And so this just gives you the sense of comfort to be around one another that loves each other. And so we're going to have KJ play the piano so it's not dead silent. But just take the next couple of minutes to, you know, really process what was said. And, you know, if there's anything you guys need to write down, we'll have buckets up here in a few minutes after the silence is over. And you can take them up here and drop them in. So thank you for coming out again. And